The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 63 of Wealth Talk. My name's Christian Rodwell, the membership director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, Chris. Nice to talk to you again.
And to you, Kevin, as always. Now, Kevin, I've just done a little check, actually, of our stats across the world and our listeners, and we're actually listened to in over 88 countries, which is fantastic. And I think it's timely just to highlight that the UK is our number one listenership, but USA is number two. Mm-hmm. And with recent goings on, Kevin, I think it's worth just taking a second to acknowledge that the Wealth Builders community is diverse. And I know for the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of feelings running high throughout the world.
Yes, absolutely, Chris. And I mean, I think what I should say on behalf of Wealth Builders is, you know, first and foremost, I would say Wealth Builders are apolitical. So we don't take sides on anything, but and we're absolutely inclusive. But I think you kind of, you know, make a really good point that we just simply cannot stay silent. We cannot stay silent about racism and police brutality. And I support the protests. And I wish they would do it more safely in terms of COVID. But I support them. I stand side by side with them virtually on this. And particularly would push on the need for change, not just in the USA, where that's, you know, quite poignant right now with George Floyd. But, you know, there's evidence of it in the UK and elsewhere. So, you know, I think it seems to me there's a mood for change, and we would definitely want to be part of that change.
Yeah, and we've had some conversations this week with members of our community, and you know, we want you to know that we're just here to reassure you and for all of our listeners around the world. So together we move on, and today is episode 63, Kevin. So we welcome actually a pretty special guest today, don't we? And it's one of our own. It's Mr. Paul Brooks, our SaaS director at Wealth Builders. Yeah.
So Paul Brooks is a great guy. I've been working with him now for just over a decade, and never had a crossword. We play golf together. We enjoy each other's company. He's younger than me, and by some margin, but he's incredibly gifted, smart, and completely committed to helping, you know, people do better things. And he specializes in the pension pillar. And I would mention, I suppose, Chris, we should apologize a little that because our number one listenership is the UK, we tend to have a UK-centric. So thank you for that reminder today. So I would say, as always, whenever you listen to a guest, listen for the wealth lessons. And the wealth lessons will apply and translate as principles, whether you're in the UK, USA, or worldwide. There'll be some parts of these principles that will apply to you, even though Paul will probably speak the language that exists more in the United Kingdom. So with that aside, why don't we listen to Paul, and then maybe I can work with you, Chris, to debrief in a more universal way.
Okay, let's do that. Paul, welcome to Wealth Talk.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be here.
Good to have you on. I can't believe it's taken so long for us to get you here, Paul. Why don't you just, Kevin and myself just shared a few words, but you know, why don't you share a little bit about your history with Wealth Builders so far?
Sure. Well, I mean, Kevin and I have been working together for a long time now, and my role at Wealth Builders is a SaaS director. So I head the side of the business that that effectively helps people to create a particular type of pension, and I'm sure for the regular listeners of the podcast, they'll be familiar with SaaS or what we call a director's pension. So I head the team that takes the business owners that we work through that exciting journey of creating a pension that they're genuinely in the driving seat of and able to really influence how their pension wealth works. But yeah, I've been doing it for a long time. As I say, Kevin and I have been working together for I believe this is our 11th year anniversary, in fact, coming up in August. So
congratulations. Long time. Hopefully we can get together and celebrate and have some cake.
That would be great. Yeah. Well, when we come out of lockdown and we're allowed to see more than just six people, you know, that would be great. You know, get out and get the team together and have a cake and a celebration.
So the pension pillar, Paul, perhaps not the sexiest of the pillars, but absolutely one of the most powerful ones if you know how to make it work for you, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. I'd 100% agree with that. And certainly, I would say the most common pillar, probably outside of home equity and you know, making your home pillar work, I would say most people have some wealth in the pension pillar somewhere, even if they've forgotten about it in truth, you know, which of course a lot of people have. But yeah, a hugely influential pillar in building wealth, if you know how to make it work.
So let's talk about that, Paul, because obviously, you know, we speak to people every day, don't we, and find out about their pensions. And some people might just have a few thousand pounds. Some people might have, you know, £1 million plus, significant pensions and everything in between. So, you know, can anyone really make their pension work harder? Are there some basic rules that anyone can apply?
I mean, I think the simple answer to that is everyone can make their pension work harder if they know what to look for and they know how to do that. And that ranges from, I suppose, at the very simple end of the spectrum to really just taking control of the things that you can take control of when you have simpler pensions that are all invested in the stock market. And really that means taking hold of and controlling the costs of investing, all the way up to the sort of super sexy end, if I can call it that, of the pension world, which is SAS, that director's pension, where, you know, you can and are genuinely sat in the driving seat of what is, you know, the highest performance pension vehicle available.
Let's go into some detail in those perhaps in a short while. But I just want to reflect, because we're in a kind of theme at the moment, Paul, of going through the pillars and looking at obviously the impact of the coronavirus and how it's affected people's wealth and people's mindset as well. Because we talk often about people having one statement a year with their pension and it arrives and kind of look at it and stick it in a drawer and forget about it again. That typically seems to be the case because it's not the most exciting topic. And people, as you mentioned, just feel they have no control over their pension. But over the last 3 months, we've seen that the markets, which, you know, majority of pension money is invested in the market, the markets have, you know, been significantly affected. And therefore, people may have been looking and thinking, wow, okay, I'm kind of banking on my pension looking after me when I get older, and it's gone down 30% or whatever it may have been over the last few months. You know, people maybe now are thinking about their pension a little bit more and saying, well, do I have more control? Is there something more I can do about this? So what's your perception over the last few months? What have you been seeing from people you've been speaking to?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, this is the biggest sort of stock market wobble we've probably had since, you know, 2007, 2008, 2009, and albeit a much more condensed version of the crash in 2008, because it's, you know, dropped significantly quicker and actually, you know, come up to something resembling a normal level in a much, much quicker time frame too. We don't really know what the long term impact, of course, is. We're still in the COVID pandemic right now. Albeit, you know, thankfully things aren't quite as bad as they were even just a month ago. But I think, you know, what I'm seeing and really what I hope people are seeing is that taking control of your pension wealth really means reviewing what your long-term strategy is and really not just defaulting back to the same old six-monthly statement or yearly statement that goes in the drawer and not really having any relationship with their pension. And I think it's like anything, you know, Kevin and I have been saying for years to people that, you know, if you're a property owner, would you buy a property and then never go and see it or look at it or think about it for 20 years? Yeah, you just wouldn't do it, would you? You know, you would maintain it. You would make sure it was still in a good state. You would want it to be working hard and tenanted and rented and working for you. But people do that with their pensions. And as you said, Chris, you know, largely because they're not exciting, people don't feel connected with them. And a key element to making your pension work, whatever your pension looks like, is taking some degree of control and responsibility, I think. And there is one thing that everyone can do to certainly take control of the broader performance of their pension. Nobody can predict a global pandemic. Nobody knew that COVID was going to happen. And, you know, we're looking back now, and I'm sure lots of people will have learned a lot. But, you know, the one thing that you can control in all pensions is cost. And, you know, I'm sure you've probably talked about this in other podcasts, but, you know, there are ways of investing in the markets where you can invest for a very, very low cost. And therefore, to an extent, you can dictate and control the long-term performance of the pension, which means that the impact of short-term blips like this in the longer term have much less of a negative impact.
What would be an example there, Paul, of a lower cost?
Well, a good example would be, you know, well, I guess lots of, you know, there are lots of different types of pensions, but stock market based pensions generally tend to have at least two different layers of cost. You know, they'll have the platform provider, the pension provider's cost for administering their pension for them and giving them access to the funds. And then you would have some fund costs. Now, typically, most people's pensions are, you know, sort of 1.5-2% all in. You know, if you factor in that that there are usually fund manager costs and, you know, IFA costs in many cases. And that's not to say those costs aren't important, because lots of IFAs provide an important service, but you can definitely look to find a lower cost pension provider. And especially if you have an older pension, nowadays the cost of actually owning a pension and the ongoing fees for that have dropped. And there are lots of low cost, functional, flexible pensions available now. Mm.
And technology is helping with this, and apps.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. You know, there's a huge number of really technologically driven pension providers now that are really sort of pioneering a new era of basic personal pensions, for example, where you can get access to great features, access 24 hours a day on an app. You know, you can make changes to your pension either on your own or with the guidance of an IFA. And that's all very quick and easy to do. And they tend to be lower cost.
And this simply wasn't there, you know, in comparison in 2008, when the word annuities was much more prominent than it is today.
Well, I mean, it was the default for so many years. You know, people worked their whole lives and then they retired, and their retirement was they would buy an insurance product called an annuity, which would give them an income for the rest of their life, and it was guaranteed. But of course, they would have to forfeit the growth and the capital they built in their pension. And so in many cases, forfeited a legacy. You know, back in 2008, when the last big crash happened, drawing income from your pension in a flexible way was very, very new, and definitely not anything like it looks like today. You know, fast forward to today, and it's drawing money from your pension has never been more flexible and more easy to do. So you're right. There's a huge change, and technology has been a big part of that for sure. You know, so getting access to lower cost pensions, and within those pensions, much, much lower cost funds, you know, which you might call index linked funds or tracker funds, or sometimes they're called ETFs, exchange traded funds. They're different types of low cost funds, so we won't get bogged down in the detail, but, you know, very, very low cost fund options that give you access to a really broad range of stocks and property and gilts and bonds and all the things that make up a sort of a broad stock market based investment portfolio for very, very low cost.
Yeah. And most people, of course, think that, you know, pensions are invested in the markets and that's it. But are there any alternative strategies that other people can think about?
Well, there absolutely are. And again, you know, coming back to this contrast between a basic pension and a director's pension or a SAS, the difference is light and day, because a basic pension is geared up towards investing in the stock market. And though you may have many, many hundreds or even thousands of different funds and ETFs and things that you can choose from, it is still just a single strategy, and that's the stock market. And, you know, undoubtedly you and Kevin would have covered this, I'm sure, many times over, but there's a huge danger in all of your pension wealth, in fact, generally speaking, all of your wealth relying on just a single strategy, of course. And there are, I would say, at the highest level, at least four different strategies that a pension can use if you have the right vehicle. Did you want me to cover them?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. So obviously, even functional, flexible, powerful pensions can do the stock market thing. And there's a place for that in all pensions. You know, we're big advocates here at Wealth Builders about, you know, diversifying your wealth and making sure that you have multiple streams of income. And that comes from having multiple strategies, usually. But, you know, SAS or director's pension, just like a personal pension, a basic pension or a SIP, can do the stock market thing. And in truth, actually, has the widest possible range of funds and the widest possible range of platforms that it can hold those funds on. Okay, so that would be strategy one. The second strategy would be commercial property. And I'm talking about here becoming a commercial property landlord and actually using your pension money to purchase any different kind of commercial property and getting the long-term benefits, broadly speaking, that commercial property offers. And of course, you know, we don't really know what the future of commercial property will look like exactly. I'm sure, like in all big worldwide occurrences, there are always changes, and you know, it may well be that there's huge opportunity in commercial property in the coming months and years. But you know, you're buying a physical asset that doesn't react in the same way as the stock markets do. You know, you've got regular recurring income, so definitely something that could be considered. Of course, even additionally to that, you know, you've got, in certain cases, especially as I say with the SAS, you've got the ability to even take property skill that you might have to do developments inside a SAS too. So you can take either skill you've already got in property or skill you can be taught and translate that into making your pension work harder in that area.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
So that's number two. Number three would be taking some of the money that your pension has and actually using it within your own business. Now, that is unique and rare. It's specific only to SAS. It's something that only a SAS can do, which is what makes it such a powerful tool for business owners. But actually being able to tap into your own pension in a time where, you know, the world is a very strange place at the moment. Lots of businesses, sadly, have failed. Lots need propping up. You know, these bounce back loans and government incentives, furlough schemes and so on are really designed to try and shield and protect the best businesses and, you know, good quality businesses from failing. But why look to a bank for a prop up loan when you can look potentially to your own pension and actually tap into some of your own money to help grow your business, you know, after the COVID pandemic? And that, you know, actually doesn't matter what industry you're in, whether you're in property, in manufacturing, in retail, it doesn't matter. The ability to borrow your own money is there if it's going to genuinely boost what your business does. And then the fourth thing is I guess what we'd call becoming the bank and actually becoming a source of leverage and bridging for other people's businesses. And if you've got the right type of pension, you can actually lend out some of your own money. And you can lend it to any legitimate business, as long as you're not connected to that business. And you can lend it sometimes to individuals too. So you can actually in a way, help become part of the bounce back solution with your own pension, if you think of it that way. You know, you could be providing loans to small businesses to help them grow and to help them come back from COVID. And of course, you have to be careful. You know, it goes without saying that, you know, lending has is more complex than any of the other strategies we've talked about. But you know, can be a huge boost to your wealth, is a very different type of asset class and strategy to the stock market and directly owning property, of course. But, you know, could definitely add some value to people, especially if, you know, from an ethical point, people like the idea of helping and supporting other businesses. And it's a great way of, you know, helping and supporting small businesses too.
Mm. Well, for anyone that perhaps has not heard of the director's pension before, I think you might have just slightly blown their mind with some of those things, Paul.
Well, I hope so. You know, it genuinely is what I would call an exciting pension, you know, and there's not many type of pension you can talk about there. You would use the word exciting in the same sentence. I'm sure you'd agree.
Yeah. And we often say this, but the pension really can be the fuel to power so many of the other pillars. And you've just talked about the property pillar there, you know, as one of the main ones, you know, joint venture pillar, you can work with your pension, obviously, in that pillar as well. Business mm-hmm. pillar, you've just mentioned as well. So it really can work, you know, very, very well as part of your overall wealth plan, and certainly not something that you should just be thinking that you can't tap into until you're 55 or beyond.
Well, I mean, you absolutely hit the nail on the head there, Chris. You know, there's this this misconception that pensions are this thing that gets locked away in a box, and sometimes even until you're 60 or 65. And, you know, as we talked about earlier, pensions are much more flexible. When you're 55 or over in the UK currently, at least, you can start tapping into some of your pension benefits. But particularly with a SAS, as I said, you know, if your business is looking for funding to grow, then you can get access through the business into, you know, into the pension, some of the pension capital. And there's, you know, there's a huge amount of synergy between director's pension, SAS, and all of those pillars, as you just said. You know, there really is. It's almost like a facilitator to grow lots of the other pillars. It's a tool that you can call on that actually helps boost your pension pillar and your business pillar and you know, other people's business pillars too, which is what makes it so exciting, I think.
Yeah. So I guess to summarise then, Paul, and again, tying it into the circumstances that we've seen over the last few months, is just, you know, always have that longer wealth term plan. You know, that long term view, really, because wealth is not created in 12 months or even a few years. You know, it's a long plan, and we've seen that the markets go in cycles. We know that we'll have another period like we've seen recently, and that you should have a cool head. And this was echoed by Manish as well when we were talking about the investment pillar last week. And mm-hmm. where possible, reduce your charges, reduce the costs, and manage and control your pension as best that you can. And for those people who perhaps, you know, are business owners, they may want to have a look and understand more about the director's pension and see how that can help them to really, you know, accelerate their journey.
Absolutely. I'd really encourage it. You know, business owners are uniquely able to tap into the power of a SAS. And even if they don't necessarily use it to borrow their own money into their own business, there's a whole wealth of things that we've just touched on very, very quickly. But, you know, really, that's the ultimate high performance pension vehicle. But even if you're not a business owner now, or you don't ever aspire to being a business owner, it certainly doesn't mean that you shouldn't be wanting to take more control over your pension. And, you know, just to quickly recap, those two things, as you just said, one would be really get control of the costs. You know, do what you can to minimize your costs. And that might mean reviewing the current pensions that you've got, spending some time with a good financial advisor to really find out if you can minimize the impact of your ongoing costs. But also actually have a proper plan to manage your pension. Don't just do some good work at the beginning and minimize your costs and then do the same that you've always done, if that's what you do, and that's leave it in the filing cabinet and this, you know, you go into the same routine. Have a proper process of reviewing, whether that's on your own or whether it's with a fund specialist, a financial advisor who can really help you manage and update and change your plan as you move through, you know, I guess the key stages in your life, but certainly at least on an annual basis, you would want to be reviewing
your wealth. Brilliant. Paul, it's been great to have you on Wealth Talk today. Thanks so much.
Pleasure. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, Kevin. So I think the message that always comes up when we talk about pensions, Paul talked about it again there, is that anyone can take control of their pension, and anyone, no matter how big or small that pension is, can start by looking at how much they're paying in fees. It's one of the simplest ways to just start to, you know, manage and get a better return.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's true with any overlooked or undervalued asset, whether it's pension, whether it's investments, wherever you've got money somewhere in your life, that financial leverage, Chris, there are always three steps everybody should take. Doesn't matter which country they're in, doesn't matter what their pension is called. That's interesting. You know, we've got curious language in pensions in the UK. You know, we come from a place of great history where legalese is everything, isn't it, really? And who would invent the word SAS? I mean, crumbs. That wouldn't win any marketing titles, would it? And Paul said himself, you know, pensions aren't sexy, but we like to say they're sassy. You know, there's things you can do, but that would be the same thing in America or anywhere else. You know, there are things you can do to take control. And I'd say the three things always to do, Chris, and definitely write these down or remember these, is three A's, like a AAA battery, like making sure you've got an injection of power into this and you don't forget. Number one, be aware. In other words, don't just leave things in drawers, in filing cabinets. Don't shred them and line the hamster's cage. You know, don't do daft things with money. You know, be aware of what you've got. Two, assess the situation. It takes a minute or 2 minutes or an email just to ask the question. And the big questions would certainly be around costs, flexibility, particularly in the UK, because we had this massive, massive change in 2015. And of course, most people have had their pensions for much longer than that, Chris. And that big flexibility almost wrote a new set of rules for pensions. And the old pensions that existed before then still exist in their old form, hiding away almost with high cost and inflexible benefits. And if you keep putting them in drawers and cabinets, then you know you're going to be stuck with old pensions that are just massively, massively overcharging you based on what they were before, because historically they were all about an automatic transfer of your money to an annuity, which means you give away your capital. Paul mentioned that. And when you give away your capital, you lose control and you deny the legacy to the next generation. So that's not always a good idea. Anyway, so awareness, assess, then take action. And if you need to get some help, get some help. You know, I would say that a few hundred pounds, probably nothing more than that, spent with a qualified advisor, but make sure you're very clear on the instructions to give them, can save you a lifetime's worth of future money, because they can help you create massive savings, so monthly savings in terms of your fees for the lifetime of your pension. And also, particularly now, Chris, with people used to work for old companies, you know, where they had these final salary pensions. We've never seen the transfer values higher, sometimes 40, 50 times, you know. And when you get figures of that size, again, that awareness, and then assess whether it's a good thing or a bad thing for you to leave the money where it is, and you'll always need advice for that. But then take action. And this is just part of the natural process that we recommend to everybody, isn't it? Is to, you know, be aware of what you're doing, assess what your options are, and then take the right kind of action that drives your wealth further forward.
Triple A approach to building wealth there. I like it. That's good. So, I mean, we say as well that, you know, the whole beauty of the Wealth Builders model is that the seven pillars, and the more pillars you can put in place, then more financially secure you'll be. And, you know, we're coming out of the whole lockdown, corona period that we've been in for the last 3 months. And it's never, you know, highlighted that one of anything is risky. And for many people who were relying on one source of income from a job, just out of nowhere, suddenly for many people, that's not there. And you start to then look at all areas of your life and say, wow, okay, well, am I playing a sort of dangerous game overall with my wealth? And pension is something that we've said is just overlooked. So now is a great time for people to actually take stock and actually look at everything in their life, all of the hidden assets that might be there, which are under leveraged.
I mean, I think Paul makes a couple of really additional great points. I think one which I'd like to highlight and give a bit of air to is technology. I mean, look, if you think about how wealth is built, Chris, technology has been the game changer, hasn't it? I mean, look at the technology we're using now in these unprecedented times. There's technology to help people create businesses that previously you'd need massive, massive systems. To be in business now, you can do everything using apps and using different ways to be able to accept payments, to create your presence online. And technology has just made wealth building so much easier, but seems to have been ignored in the pension pillar. It's almost like there's so much technology available to help you manage your money, make it more easier to do, make it less costly. Even change your reliance on the stock market, because that's the other thing. You talked about an over-reliance, Chris. But when you get most people, you know, we've talked about this before, most people in, certainly in the UK and the US, have got a house, which they don't really do that much with in terms of creating an income flow. They've got pensions, they've got investments, and that over-reliance on the stock market. So if you've got two out of three pillars in the stock market and you're paying high fees and charges, you're really just supporting the wealth of the financial industry. You know, you're not really maximizing the value to you. So I'd say, number one, drive those costs down. Number two, diversify inside your pension. And one of the best ways to do that, whichever country you're in, is look to see if there's a type of pension, in the UK we call it the SAS, the small self-administered scheme. In America, I think they've got the IRA and the Roth. But there's all sorts of different pensions that will allow you to take more control. And then if you take more control, you can build other assets inside your pension. So in the UK, you can buy property. In the UK, you can also lend money, be a bank. So you can facilitate joint ventures, or you can create IP, or you could lend to your business. You see how the pension starts to take a different form. It almost helps you build your wealth because you've got control of the funding, and you can use that money for your own purposes, including getting leverage, you know, where you can take the money inside the pension. If you're using it for property, for example, you can borrow money in addition. So you get the ability to control more value in your asset than you've actually got, which you can't do in any conventional pension at all, where you're just simply leaving money in the stock market. So while it's a boring pillar, yes, it is. It's pretty gray. It's pretty dreary. Very, very not so if you're in the industry when they make millions and millions and millions from the opaque structure of this and the way that they know people kind of get persuaded, almost suckered into this idea of just holding for the long term and then just ride it out because that's the way the world works. And that's not a good plan when it comes to uncertainty. You get volatility in the future, when you get older, you know, it's not really a great plan, because how do you create a certainty of income, which is what wealth is, it's a certainty of income. How do you create certainty when the asset you've invested in is so volatile? You know, it's almost impossible to do, which is where technology goes against you, because technology can speed up that volatility. So the best thing to do is use technology the other way, technology to give you control so you build your wealth in multiple pillars. I'm going to keep saying this, Chris, every time we do a podcast, you must build additional pillars and not just do what conventional people do, which is why 95% of the population in any country, Chris, don't get to be financially independent, which means in the end, their life will be compromised. Their life will be uncertain. They will not leave the legacy they'd intended to do. Like my dad, he made mistakes, didn't have a chance to correct them. I've learned the lessons, and I want you to follow in our footsteps and build your wealth properly. I'm sorry about my soapbox, Chris, but I'm very passionate about the pension pillar.
That's quite all right. And, you know, we want people to be part of the 5% and to join us, to be part of the Wealth Builders community, be part of the 7 Steps to Wealth program that we open up, obviously, throughout the year. And thank you again for listening. You know, we really appreciate, we mentioned at the beginning of the show, listened in over 88 countries now. And thank you again for the reviews that have been coming in. So just before we leave for today, Kevin, I'd like to give Mike a shout out. He's our latest reviewer on iTunes. And Mike says, I came across Wealth Talk on Facebook after someone from a property event I attended recommended, and I'm very glad I did. It breaks the learning into very easily digestible 20-minute chunks and comes across in a very genuine way. And he's saying he can hear the passion from ourselves, helping others through their own wealth journeys. Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
That's nice. That's nice. And it's, I think, you know, anybody who listens to this and has been a regular listener will know how authentic we are. We don't have hidden agendas. We're not trying to push or pull anybody in any direction. We're just trying to show people a path, a step-by-step process that they can follow. They can follow on their own terms. If they want to plug into the podcast, they can join the Facebook for free and get as much information that we have there. And those who want to, you know, work with us can do so. And the very lowest thing you could do, the least you could do, please, is tell somebody else. You know, if you're enjoying the podcast, if you like what we're about, just tell somebody else, hey, listen to this. It might give you a tip, because everybody would rather be wealthy than not wealthy. So, you know, I just hope that one or two of you will do that, and we'll get into another country, or our reviews will pick up.
Yeah, that would be great. So thank you all for listening today. And Kevin, thanks again. I'll catch you on the next episode of Wealth Talk.
Okay, Chris. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.